The New York Ska Jazz Ensemble with Harlem Nocturne. And it's featuring, we just heard from the fiery Fred Reiter on sax. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And we're picking up from where we left off yesterday with a couple more things added today. First, I should mention that we have the mounting problem in Venezuela. The U.S. is now warning, quote-unquote, Russia that it will not tolerate a buildup of military equipment and personnel in Venezuela. So we have right now, as of right now, we have a face-off. The U.S. has issued a threat that it will not tolerate a buildup of military equipment and personnel in Venezuela as Venezuela attempts to protect itself from invasion. In fact, that's the word that has been used, that the Russians, the Chinese also, are under the impression that there will soon be a full-scale invasion and that the United States military is actually giving cover to this invasion. So it's going to get, it's going to get very dicey very soon. It already is dicey. This is a matter we don't need this in the region. We don't need it anywhere, but certainly in the region, and with this president, who is likely to do just about anything. Speaking of which, one of the things that he has done is he has gotten $1 billion allocated to his famous wall. And he has gotten that by taking money out of the budget for the Pentagon. So now he has just done an end run. But you know, this is not what is supposed to happen. And I say it's what, I don't mean to sound naive. I am still of the opinion that it is not the president who allocates money to anything. It still is a matter of Congress approving allocations of funds to do anything. So the news, the news stories today are reporting that Trump has taken $1 billion from the Pentagon budget, which he said he was going to do. He was going to get his money one way or the other, and he will dip into the Pentagon's budget, and he will go after other departmental budgets to get his money, all to prove that he is true to his word. When he says he's going to do something, well, he's going to do it. But that's not the way the government is supposed to run. And I don't see, maybe it's just me, but I don't see a frantic attack on the basic premise here. There had already been several rounds of fighting with regard to the president's insistence that there must be a wall, even though his senior military advisors are saying there is no emergency at this time for a wall. There is, in some places, a barrier, not the kind of project that Trump is talking about. But in any event, we had heard from military advisors, we had heard from a whole bunch of people who said there is no emergency that requires the spending of billions of dollars to build a wall at this time. Trump has decided he doesn't care what people think. He's going to get the money. Now, for the moment, he's saying that this $1 billion that he extracted would come from the Pentagon's budget, and it will go toward building 57 miles of wall. That was not supposed to be the plan. It was not supposed to be the plan. And again, the president continues to do this over and over and over again, and they won't smack him down. He is not the person to handle allocations of money for anything. Whatever it is that he wishes to fund, that is a matter for Congress. Congress does that. So you can't just say, well, you didn't give me what I asked for. I'm going to do an end run around you and take the money from the Pentagon and go build this wall. Now, it's very possible that that money, if at all taken from the Pentagon's budget, could have been allocated for something else. But he has shown absolute disdain for behaving like a president, understanding how the country runs. So he's looking to get now $8 billion more from, in a similar fashion, from squeezing other departments of their budgets. This is completely not allowed. This is not supposed to be the case. The president cannot decide he is going to cut the budget for this and cut the budget for that, and people just have to go along with the program. In other words, the president is defiant, and not just defiant. This is really crazy. This is just crazy. This is not government at all. This is a stick-up. He had done a stick-up before. He likes the idea of doing stick-ups, so he got $1 billion from the Pentagon, and he is going to move on to other departments so he could get at least $8 billion in all to build his wall, whether we like it or not, whether it puts people at great distress or not, whether it ruins a budget or not. He's going to do it, and he has done it today. Now, I don't know what these Democrats are doing, and I'm getting more and more fed up with them. Because, well, it's not just only the Democrats, to be fair. We have the Republicans, everybody's just kind of laying low and letting Donald Trump have his way, doing whatever it is he wants to do, and they'll go along with it. And that is wrong. Absolutely wrong. Which brings me to the other topic, and that is we really have gotten as many clues as we could possibly need to understand what we must do. This country under in this administration has gone to hell in a handbasket. We have a lunatic in the White House doing whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it, however he wants to do it. And the people who are the ones suffering already are just going to have to suffer some more. This president is treating the national treasury as his own personal piggy bank. And the same with his cohorts and family members who are part of this administration. They come up with these really great ideas and they get the money they want. Nobody has asked yet or demanded proof yet that any of the projects funded with taxpayer money are doing the right thing, are going according to plan. Not with this administration. This administration is everybody just using the government and the resources of the government for their own personal use. We had the other day Ivanka Trump and her husband Jared Kushner deciding they needed to take a trip somewhere. Well, you think they would go to the airport and buy their ticket and, like anybody else, get on a plane and go? No. They're using the resources of the government to do that. They didn't go on government business. And they've been doing that because Trump has been doing that. They all do that. They jump on a government plane at $25,000 an hour. And we foot the bill. I mean, at some point, we have to decide whether we can tolerate this anymore or whether we just fold up our tents and just go away, just get out of this thing. But, that's what they want. They want people to be so fed up that we just give up. We have to fight. But look what we're working with. Look at what we are working with. The government and the state of affairs is so depressing right now. There isn't a glimmer of hope that, all right, we gearing up and we're ready to go. Nobody's ready to go. Barack Obama yesterday had to force himself, I guess, into the fray by saying, especially to the newbies, the newly elected members of Congress, and we know who he's talking about, that it's all well and good to have all these great ideas about what needs to be done, but you also have to have a plausible plan for how to fund it. People are talking. Oh, we ought to have this, we ought to have that. But nobody has a plan. And just when you need to see the leadership of Nancy Pelosi and all the great Democrats, we're not getting plans from them. We are not getting cogent ideas and responses that might work. You're only getting ideas. You know, this cannot continue. If you don't have a plan, shut up and go away. If you don't have any cogent response to what it is we are dealing with as a nation, and especially those of us who are predisposed to looking kindly on your ideas, and you don't have an idea that you could explain to people how it's going to work, how soon could you get it ramped up and running, then shut up and go away and stop annoying us. We're hearing all this grandiose talk, all these great ideas, as if that's enough. These Republicans are not playing. They are not joking around. They know exactly what they want to do and what they want to get done, and they are doing it. We're still talking, you know, in esoteric stuff, and it's in the ether. Nobody has produced a plan. Okay, so you want a Green New Deal, for example. Okay, that's a great idea. Well, where is it? What's the plan? How's it going to be funded? And Obama has a very strong point here. It's a pity that he's only just beginning to surface, and he's nipping at the edges and not deeply involved. I guess his attitude is, look, I've been there, I've done my share, I'm out. I'm looking now toward my future and my multi-million dollar deals and building my $500 million owed to myself, a foundation in Chicago. I'm taking care of me and Michelle. That's it. We both have million-dollar deals. You guys have to figure it out. And what signals are we getting from Nancy Pelosi? What signals are we getting from any quarter in the Democratic Party? Considering that, yes, we know there are other parties, but by and large, it's the Democrats versus the Republicans. The Republicans are tearing this country up, looting it. They are bringing us down to the lowest common denominator we have experienced in years. And the Democrats are just having talks, as if that is what gets things done. And we have people now so involved in their political futures, they don't even have time. They don't have time to sit down and talk to us and tell us, look, I'm running, these are my main points, or this is, or let's start with the party. What is the party standing for? It is not enough to say you're against Trump. Since when is that sufficient? You have no plan. And you're jerking people around. You're saying the right phrases, and you staging right news conferences and blah, 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 blah. But as a party, you're shot. You have nothing to offer, not yet. You're just talking. At least I could make the exception here of Bernie Sanders. He has at least come up with an idea of how you fund health care and so forth, but that's not the party. The party hasn't yet committed itself to what it is it will do. It is not engaging with this president who is slaughtering us. When he says he's going to get $1 billion from here and get $1 billion from there, which he was denied by a lawfully constituted body, and he says, I know what I'm going to do, I'm going to run around you. And we have no response. And you speak for the people. You pretend you speak for the people. Who needs you? I am as powerful as the Democratic Party right now. So are you. Because they haven't advanced a cogent plan. They're not organized. They're fighting among themselves. They have different visions. The Republicans, say what you want about them, they know exactly what they want. They're organized. They're taking us all to hell, but they're organized. And this business, we're talking about the elections as if it's an event. We don't even equate elections with our political fate. If you were to ask any Democrat right now, what is the platform of the party? Set aside individuals. What does the party stand for? What is it doing? What are its priorities? You can't get an answer. I mean, just 2 years away from the presidential election. All these things that are happening outside of our control, they should be on this situation like white on rice. This is a very treacherous time. I mean, we have war being threatened right on our doorstep that will involve at least three world powers. Are we talking nonsense here? We're talking absolute nonsense. So I am at a loss, and I'm not feeling hopeful about any major resistance to this president and his administration, which has torn this country and tilted it upside down. I'm not hopeful about it. The Democrats want our help. Yes, they want our help so that they can win individual elections. Where do you think I've been? I mean, just plain logic tells you this is not a winning formula. It is not a winning formula. Everybody's waiting until Nancy Pelosi, Mother Dear, decides what she will do and when it will happen. It's as if there is no independent thought in the Democratic Party, let alone independent action. And they are deeply involved right now, not with our collective future, but their individual future. What are they going to win? What seat are they going to win? Talked about the newcomers, especially Congresswoman Omar of Minnesota, Congresswoman Tlaib, others, the incoming freshman group. You don't get the sense that they are bringing bright new visions. They're talking stuff that has nothing to do with the collective movement forward. They already are in the wrong mode of it's about me. Me first, me only. They haven't indicated in any way that they have begun a collective or putting together a collective response within this party. People are making speeches. People are running all over the place, looking for press coverage. That's where their heads are at. You didn't get elected to be noteworthy for news coverage and things you say off the cuff that you have to bend back and apologize for because your mouth is in overdrive and your brain is in neutral. And you're blowing it. So I think the Democratic Party better get serious. I have no hope at this point that they are moving in the right direction with the right kind of energy, that they really are fighting a system. I have no such hope. There's discord, there's disunity, there's everybody sitting around waiting as if they are on a plantation, waiting to see what Nancy Pelosi will decide should be done. As if this party cannot get it together, and it's been in this state for a long time. Dissipated, completely out of sorts, not moving as a group, not moving as a party, not talking to the people. And yet they expect arrogantly that at the time, whatever time it is that they ask for help, we should all just run and help, run and do this, run and do that for the party. The party isn't paying attention to the people. The party isn't acting like a party. That's crazy. The other thing I want to talk about, I'm sorry, but I had to get this off my chest. In this whole thing about the Mueller report or the synopsis of the Mueller report and so forth, notice how subtly, in fact, it's so subtle, I bet you didn't notice it. They're talking about Trump. And of course, Trump is using this to the max, how he has been exonerated. No such thing. He hasn't been exonerated of anything. But who has been exonerated is Hillary Clinton. Not a word. Not a word about Hillary Clinton's involvement in this whole thing, and in fact, starting it. It was Hillary Clinton who went all over the place saying how Trump is trying to deny her the presidency and all the evil, nasty things that he's doing, and she was allowed to do it. Why? Because she's a white woman in America, a former Secretary of State, a former Secretary of State who also was the wife of a former president. Did she commit a crime by making that allegation? And did anybody say, well, wait a minute, let's check out at least the basis of your complaint? They didn't do that. In this country, it's like saying, the basis of some of these rape charges. Nobody asks for the truth. Nobody asks for evidence, depending on who is complaining. This woman started a problem that cost $30 million and almost 2 full years to come to the point in which there is a determination on one set of allegations, and those allegations are not that serious, that amount to crimes. But the allegations that do amount to crimes, there's no determination. And somehow everybody's satisfied with that after spending $30 million and almost two years investigating. You will notice that. See, I notice things like that. Her name has not come up as a person lodging false charges. When she made those charges, nobody said, well, give us some basic evidence. No, they left her alone. She was to be left alone. And she went all over the country seeking election as the president of the United States, making these charges, causing the country to foot this bill of $30 million, and still not legitimizing not one of the things that she said. You see, we're joking. We are joking. And we have these tricks being played on us, and we are encouraged to believe, and we are encouraged to support. And you see, there is no, on a moral basis, there is no difference between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. No difference. The lying, the cheating, the misdirecting, all of that, so that she can have her way. And she did. And now everybody, Democrats and Republicans alike, are fashioning this new narrative now that it is really one thing when it is not. The only person who has been exonerated in this process has been Hillary Clinton. Now you can tell me why. I'll take this break and come back to your comments at 888 874-4888 right after this. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. We're talking about a bunch of things that should have us really upset, because it's all about being manipulated. We're all being manipulated. And at some point, we have to understand how precious our real estate is and not allow it to be defiled so easily. Not at all. People are telling us this and telling us that. The news people are telling us this. And this is why I emphasize all the time, you do your own thinking. Do your own thinking. Because when you do your own thinking, you get to see the games that are being played. You start asking the right questions for which there are no answers. How are you going to tell people, you have you've pretty much solved half of the problem? You're not releasing the entire report so that people with independent minds can figure out what really happened here. So you're not doing that. And both the Democrats and Republicans are doing it, and progressives. Marie from Baltimore, what are your thoughts?
I can't even remember your name right now, but I said I can't remember your
Retrieve.
name.
It's Retrieve,
I
Marie.
had my words together before I called up, and I didn't think I was going to call up. But baby, you have said it all, what I've been thinking a long time. But we're going to see how things are going to swing out here. And they're going to swing out badly here in this country. I have to say this. I don't want to say it, but I'm going to say it. We're heading in a bad way. The longer this man stays in office, it's going to be trouble. And look, you have a nice day. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Marie. Thanks for calling in. You see, the issue here is what in the end are we about? What are we about? Individually, collectively, what are we about? Look at what they have done. And I make no distinctions between the Republicans and the Democrats and anybody else. Look at what they've done. And as supposedly conscious people, we put our faith in that. We put our faith in them and the process. And look where we are. This is a gangster administration, a bunch of hoodlums. Everybody's hand is in a pot. And all they insist on is to make more and more demands, press the people more and more for more money that they misuse and steal outright. And we're supposed to be okay with that. Because justice is working. The criminal justice system itself is corrupted. We can't have faith in that. It should not have taken 2 years almost to get a gist of what's going on in the court of law. That's why you have such powerful minds. And educated people making educated decisions for the country, making a lot of money that the taxpayers are paying. Look what we're getting. And we act like there's nothing we can do. Is there nothing we can do except vote? Is there really nothing that we can do to fix this? I worry about what we are supposed to be prepared for. And that's why I say all the time, the only answer I could come up with is prepare for yourself. See to your survival, because you see what they're doing. They're causing us to question what this country believes it owes its citizens. And it owes them less and less and less every day. It demands more and more and more from them every day. Willie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, beloved, and my family.
Hello. Thank you, Willie.
You were talking about the justice system. That's just about right, in my judgment. It's a justice system run by a bunch of criminals. It's very simple. Everything is right there for you to see and for us to see. And you went. You did several programs on the Democratic Party and the Republican. It's the same party. So to look to either party for anything different is just idiotic, in my judgment. It's the same bird, the right wing and the left wing, that's all. Now the question is, what are we going to do?
I'm asking it, too. I'm asking the question.
Well, from my standpoint, we already have things in place. For example, the PRN, we could have a party. And we could have the people, very honorable, decent people with a track record, honesty, and decency within that system. Now,
but here's the problem, Willie. The problem is that it has reached a point of decay. The system has reached a point of decay where even if you had really well-oxygenated new blood, they're going to come in to this decay and will become, you know, part of the decay at some point. Do you sense that we have any alternatives, or do you sense that it's a matter of starting over fresh? What do you think? What do you think?
We have to create our own system. Period. And dismiss the entire Washington, period.
But is that logical, and is that even doable?
No, I think it
takes a lot to run this country. But do you have an idea of where we can start? Let's just say that.
By educating the masses of people. Even 50% of the American people, because the majority of the American people has been miseducated. So they don't understand, and that job is for us to do, the PRN people. Listeners, you guys within that organization is doing an superb job. It's up to us. That's the only way I see out. Because we got to clean Washington out, period. Because just like you said, they're gangsters. That's it. They're what they are, gangsters, criminals. Okay.
And of course, I applied a pretty wide label. I don't mean that every single person is a gangster, but it looks like it. It feels like
it. Okay. In my judgment, all of them are, because there's no one speaking out against it. So we have to get people in there. For example, look at the work Gary's doing. I'm so concerned that they may hurt him. That is my concern. Not with what they do in Washington. We already know what they're going to do. But the question is, again, like I said, what are we going to do? And the ball is already rolling. It is up to us to complete it and re-educate the masses of America, masses of people. That's it. I see no other way out.
Wow. How do we institutionalize this change that you're talking about? How do we make it happen in a broad sense, broader than it is now?
Eugene, we already have this thing in place. Educating the people, the masses of the people. On a day, we have to do that because we know the truth. So we have to get other people tuned into this so they will know the game that they're playing. So whenever the people within that organization, because all of y'all are brilliant people. So I'm the first one to say I'm still stupid. So once you point out what we have to do, I'm sure everybody will say, oh yeah, that's right, let's do this. It's simple, in my judgment.
Here's the thing. It has become a mega corporation of craziness. And just about everybody that should be doing important work is fixed on doing what they have to do for themselves. I get the feeling that on any given day in Congress, you would have less than half the people in Congress really seriously concerned about advancing the cause for the people. What is it that we can do to help this nation? You look at all the indications. People are getting sicker. They're getting older. They're getting lower salaries if they're working at all. Poor schools, poor living conditions. So we have to do something. We have to do something. Thanks so much, Willie, for bringing your thoughts to the table today. Patricia from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon, you, Teresa, and good afternoon to the PRN family.
Thank you, Patricia. Good afternoon to you.
You know, I have not been hopeful for a while, although when we had our new crop of young legislators who came into the Congress, I was somewhat excited. But then I watched the response that Representative Omar Ilan received, and I realized that not only did she not have support, you know, for the first time, I think she's beginning to understand how African Americans have been treated in terms of the N-word. You know, she now understands that she's now part of that N-word community. And the Democratic Party has long ago abandoned us. I look at AIPAC, and as you know, AIPAC is in town. I mean, Netanyahu's in town this week to address AIPAC. And in spite of the fact that all of the announced Democratic candidates who are running have decided that they are going to boycott AIPAC, you still have a significant amount of African-American legislators who just running to represent the community, their community who put them in there, who I don't think understand what AIPAC is and what their representative is doing. And I guess I'm rambling because all around me I see evidence of the fact that we are just so alone. And so rather than being able to come up with a collective strategy, because I was talking to my son this morning, and as I was talking to him on the phone, I kept looking and said, who raised you? Because here is my son who I raised. I mean, I got to claim this one. And he was talking about the fact that my generation, i.e. you and me, we failed him. That our old way of thinking about collective work and responsibility is old-fashioned. That his generation, he's a millennial, that his generation is in the me-I generation. And I said to myself, oh, my God, if my child that I raised can talk like that, well, then I understand why elected officials talk like that. Because there's the constituency that they are now representing is not you and me in the PRN audience. We're in a sad state of affairs.
Any ideas at all about what we ought to be thinking of doing?
You know, I come from the Each One, Teach One school. And every time I make an effort to do that, I am told, well, what are you doing other than trying to teach me? What are you doing? So my response is, well, you know, if I inform and educate and enlighten you, hopefully that will instill some individual activity or strategy that maybe not only individually you can employ, but collectively. And it stops right there. I'm told, what are you doing? Don't talk to me. What you doing?
It's a pointing. Everybody's pointing at each other, but we're not really getting the point.
We're not getting anywhere. We're not getting anywhere. I mean, when you can have African-American officials supporting BDS, anti-BDS legislation, you know we're in a sad state of affairs.
It's a very serious issue. We have a crisis, I think. We have a major crisis on our hands because I think you're right on this point. We're being told the same backward, self-defeating thing, even from our own legislators who used to have different ideas.
That's because you look at poor Ilhan, she got so beat up so quickly, she thought she knew the terrain in which she was going. And she learned very, very quickly. She got smacked very, very early and very quickly. Look, this is my territory. Don't come in here and think you're going to change stuff. I run this roost, not you. And she kind of said, okay, sorry, my bad.
She fell in line kind of quickly. But
she fell in line.
All hope isn't lost.
She didn't understand.
It just feels like we're losing. It feels like we're losing so badly.
She didn't understand the terrain that she was. She didn't understand where she was going. She didn't understand that she was going to get opposition. She didn't survey who are my friends and who are my enemies. Who will support me? Who will stand next to me? And who can I just write off? She didn't do her homework.
True.
And so because she didn't do her homework, she got smacked and she sat down.
Well, what do you think about this idea that the only exoneration that has come out of this little debacle that we are experiencing is Hillary Clinton?
You know something? I have to admit that I hadn't even thought of that. You gave me some food for thought today. I hadn't even thought of that.
She's the only one. Both sides agreed that this white woman will not be attacked. She got a pass.
Yes, she did.
Yep. And do we hear anything from the progressive community? Do we hear anything from her base? No, nothing at all.
By the way, before I leave you, I want you to know that I not only emailed, but I wrote a letter. I typed a letter to Bernie Sanders about his disloyalty to all of those people who supported him and had him turn around and give his votes to Hillary. I did. And I got a response. You know what the response said? You know what the response said?
What?
Thank you for your message. We'll take it under advisement.
Well, you know I don't mean to laugh, but...
I got a written response, darling. I got it in my house. Thank you for expressing your concerns, it says.
Yep. That's response number five.
What do you do?
Well, we're going to have to figure that out really soon and be pretty fierce about it.
Because it's not as if I didn't write the man and say, this is what you did. He said, thank you for expressing your concern.
Mm-hmm. And that should suffice.
We're
not going to hear from him at all. So pretty soon we will have to come to terms with this.
Exactly.
Are we the lost sheep? do we have a prayer and coming together and doing something? And what would that something be? How do we get it done? Thanks for your call, Patricia.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. This brings us to the end of our program today. And we got to get serious and see things for what they are. This is definitely not a one-size-fits-all kind of thing. This is how systems operate. You got to understand the system. We all have to understand the system because it's changing again. It's kept much of its old self, but it has developed a virulent strain, and it is reintroducing itself to us in a very, very vindictive way, a very oppressive way. We would be crazy to ignore it. Thanks so much for listening. We'll connect again tomorrow. Bye-bye. The people,